Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. For a variety of reasons, depression is more common in MS than in other chronic illnesses. About half of all people with MS experience a serious or clinical depression at some point during their lifetimes. If the person with MS has a personal or family history of depression, he or she will be especially vulnerable. In some people, depression is thought to be caused by the damage MS has done within the central nervous system, or it can be a side effect of some MS medications. On the other hand, many people without MS obviously also struggle with depression. Today's webcast is the third of a three-part series focusing on managing your symptoms. In this webcast, we will focus our attention on depression. And we're very pleased to have as our guest for this webcast Dr. Roberta Dedele. Dr. Dedele is the director of Psychology Works, a nonprofit organization offering education to patients and their families on living successfully with chronic disease. She's also a practicing health psychologist in Houston, counseling people with chronic illness and their families. And once again, she joins us. Welcome back to MS Learn Online, Dr. Dedele.
Glad to be here.
Our pleasure to have you. Everyone experiences sadness or a depressed mood from time to time, of course, but how can people tell whether what they're experiencing is normal or whether it is, in fact, a serious depression that might require some professional help?
I think the easiest way to think about it is that everybody does become down and blue, and especially if you have a chronic disease, you have a reason to be down and blue. But it's about length of time, frequency, and severity. If it goes on for days and days or weeks or months, then you know it's more serious. If there aren't very many days or weeks in between periods of being blue, then it's happening too often.
Not enough good times in there.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you become really, really depressed where you're thinking about suicide or you don't want to live anymore, then you know that it's more severe than it should be. I think symptoms of depression really go beyond depressed mood, and that's the most important thing to remember. And often people are more likely to feel numb than to feel sad. We think of sadness as associated with depression, but a clinical depression is kind of emptiness. It also has physical effects. They've done brain scans of individuals who are depressed, and clearly there are differences in people's brains when they are depressed and when they're not depressed. And it changes your sleep patterns, mm-hmm. It changes your appetite, it often even changes your bowels and how they function. It depresses your body. I think there are also negative thinking aspects of depression. The studies of depressed people show that they're more realistic than normal people. Get that. But I think what that does is that it makes them see all those horrible realities of life. The rest of us can kind of live in a fantasy world and enjoy things and be optimistic. Optimism seems to have something to do with fooling ourselves into thinking that the future will be good. And when you can't do that anymore, it probably means you're depressed.
So beyond the moods, it's when it's really impacting your life.
Exactly. And another aspect of the impact is social withdrawal.
Yes.
People kind of move away from their families. Even when people around you are trying to get you to come out and trying to do things, you don't feel like it. You feel kind of fatigued and flat. And sometimes with MS, it's hard to tell the fatigue of depression from the fatigue of MS, and it can be confusing for people.
So I guess that leads us to the issue of what can we do about it. If people are feeling sad, feeling loss, feeling just depressed in general, how about some coping strategies, things they can do proactively for lifting themselves out of those gray moods?
Well, probably the first thing that I would say is get out and socialize. In immersing yourself in life, even when you don't necessarily feel like it, does have an impact. It helps you to feel better. Physical activity makes a big difference. Studies that have been done on people who are depressed suggest that it not only gets you undepressed faster if you're physically active, but it keeps you from becoming depressed again, so you're less likely to relapse.
I was just going to say, it's much like exercise. Sometimes you don't feel like exercising, but as soon as you do it, you feel better.
Yes, and there are physical effects with exercise, little endorphin rush that actually changes your brain chemistry and helps to lift you out of that depression. It's also a distraction from the unpleasant realities of having MS. And so another thing, study that was interesting, people who are depressed were asked, what do you do to make yourself feel better? And often they would say, I go to a sad movie, or I call other people who are depressed.
Oh, no.
So that, yeah, if you're depressed, often you don't even know how to get out of it. People who are not depressed, when they are facing things that are unhappy, recognize that it's important to go and do things that are uplifting and exciting and fun. And so getting yourself out of that rut is important.
I would imagine, though, that coping with a deeper, more persistent depression goes beyond some of the coping strategies you just described. So for the person that is truly depressed, what can he or she try to do to manage their depression?
Well, I'm not someone who pushes medication, but I think that there are times when medication can be really helpful. Most studies suggest that medication with counseling together are the best way to ensure that you'll get out of your depression. And especially since serotonin is involved, it's a brain chemical that's involved in depression, and it may be linked to beta-serone medications that are common in MS. So it may be that the medication you're taking has an effect to make you more depressed. So taking medication to alter that balance, get you back in balance, can be helpful. Another thing that is really crucial is to identify some of the negative thinking that goes along with being depressed, that negative outlook, the pessimistic outlook. I can suggest a couple of books that may be helpful. One's by Martin Seligman, a book called Learned Optimism. It's a wonderful book that focuses on the importance physically and emotionally of being optimistic. Another one is by Richard O'Connor called Undoing Depression. And so if you're out there and you are feeling like you may be suffering from a depression, either of those books I think might be helpful.
Great. Now, maintaining a positive sense of self-worth, I would think, is very important in coping with depression and MS. So any thoughts on how a person can sustain their self-esteem?
Well, I think sometimes people think of self-esteem as this entity that exists, you know, beyond what we do. And in fact, I think a self-esteem is just the accumulated effect of having lived our lives. When we have a disability that keeps us from living normally, it changes our sense of identity. And so we kind of have to reconstruct ourselves, rebuild another person. And what that means is get out and do, making a life for yourself that is consistent with your lack of physical abilities, but captures the things that are important to you, reordering your priorities personally and vocationally, spiritually too. I think it's also about making the most of today. Let go of the way things used to be. It's not that way anymore. Don't live in the past. And don't get ahead of yourself. I think one of the things that's scary about MS is that you worry about the future. And the best thing to do is just let the future take care of itself.
So it sounds like it's less about maybe self-affirming thoughts or a mantra or anything like that, and it's more about doing.
Yeah, the self-affirming thoughts can help you do, but there's no substitute to getting out and reclaiming your life. You know, the old story of Goldilocks, who kind of fell into everything that happened to her. She found the porridge that was too cold or too hot, and it never occurred to her to put the cold porridge in the microwave and heat it up. Well, maybe they didn't have microwaves back in those days.
On the wood stove or something.
That's right. But it's the idea of take what you've got and be creative with it. Think for yourself and take ownership of your life.
Unfortunately, this is all the time we have today, Dr. Dedele. But once again, thanks very much for being with us and helping us better understand depression and MS.
Happy to be here.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician or psychologist. If you have a question that wasn't addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant by these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.